All right, three things that we want to see. I was told that by many well-intentioned people, leaders, pastors, that perhaps young people, high school and college students such as yourselves, maybe I'm giving you guys too much hard stuff. Basically, I was told to dumb down the Bible, right? And I was like, what does that mean? They're like, well, just tell them that God loves them and then just play a lot of games and take them to like bowling and just do a lot of activities. Then the youth group will become successful, meaning big, okay? And I was like, huh. But I can't do that because I fear God more than I fear your absence. And I fear God more than I fear your departure. Right? So even if it's just me and Hunter, I'll be here. We'll go over the Bible, you know? Even if it's just me and Hunter, every Saturday, we'll be here. We'll pray. Even if it's like one thing, right, Hunter? Sometimes it's one thing. Oh God, please don't let me fall asleep. So, anyway, if you have any questions about the messages or the passage that we go through, don't feel any kind of fear or whatever. Talk to me, talk to you, Johnny, afterwards, okay? But nonetheless, and I was told to give you guys just 1 point, because 3 points, I said, young people these days, you can't handle 3 points. It's too much. And I said, screw that. Maybe you can't handle 3 points in a biology class or a sociology class, but this is the Word of God, right? 3 points, all right? We try to break it down as easily and as personable as possible. Nonetheless, that's my little intro 2.0. Anyway, the three lessons that we're going to see. The first one, Jonah's rejection of God's Word. Okay? Jonah's rejection of God's Word. Okay? Remember, last week, God says what? God said to Jonah, go. Okay? This week, we get a little bit more personal, a little bit more in detail, and God says to Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh, right, and cry out against it. Okay, cry out. What does that mean? Okay. What God's telling Jonah to do is, he gives a direct command. Go and preach the gospel to Nineveh. And we talked about last week the ridiculous scenario of that, right? Because Jonah is a Jew. Nineveh is smack dab in the middle of the Assyrian Empire, which will sooner or later come and take over that entire Middle Eastern region, right? And they'll become one of the first multinational empires of the world, okay? And so, and Jonah knows this, right? And Jonah, being a very good Jew, does not want to share God's love with not just, godless heathens, but these are like hardcore godless heathens, right? He's like, not only do they hate God, but they hate us too. So he's like, no, I don't want to go there, right? So God gives Jonah a direct command, gives him a direct word, right? We got to remember, back in the day, prophets, this is before they have Bibles, okay? And this is also back in the day where the Bible is very incomplete, and what little Bible they have, it's really expensive, because you got to pay a dude to just sit there and copy, letter by letter, okay? If you look at the Old Testament, even if you go to go with a Jewish friend to their synagogues or whatever, they have like one Bible in their entire temple. It's like huge, this big. Okay, and they have like, and what you do is you literally hire a copy or a, what they call them, they actually call them lawyers, right? Because it's the law of God, and what they do is they sit there, right? And then the craziest thing is that you have to be perfect, straight line, perfect, no misspelling, nothing, right? And then what they would do is, whenever you got to the proper name, right, in your Bible, it'll say the Lord in capital, right? That's Yahweh in Hebrew, right? Whenever they got there, what they had to do is they had to get up, they had to take a bath, they had to shower, because God's name is so holy, right? They had to shower everything, get a new change of clothes and everything. and then they skip it, there's a blank, and then they go to the next line. Okay, that's how holy God's name is. So if you look at like Hebrew Bibles, like handwritten Hebrew copies, there's like blanks in places. You're like, what the? And then blank said, you're like, okay. Jews would say that and obviously know what's supposed to go there. If you have Jewish friends, I had Jewish friends growing up in elementary school, they refused to even write God in English. They would write G/D. Okay? And I remember like, why? What are you doing? What the heck is a G/D? And they're like, oh, it's God. But his name is so holy, I can't, I'm not allowed to write it. Whoa, okay. So, right? So what you have is this like very limited amount of Bible. Not everyone could go home and look up BibleGateway.com and stuff like that. It's not there, right? And so what you got to do is you had prophets and priests. And so back in the day, God would speak directly to prophets, right? And if you remember a little bit, prophets don't have the power to take from God and go, okay, let me put the spin on this and let me do this version of what God said. No. Prophets were walking, breathing copy machines. Okay, God tells them exactly what to say. They have no freedom to add or subtract. They just say exactly whatever God says. Right? And most of the prophets paid with their life for it. Right? And so Jonah is one of these guys. And you would think, oh, Jonah, man of God. God speaks to him. Right? You would think, oh, this is a guy who God speaks to. Obviously, he's going to be like, oh, snap, God tells me to do something, he's going to do it. Right? But the problem is, we see Jonah does exact opposite. In the face of great revelation, God reveals himself to Jonah, gives him a direct word, and what does Jonah say? Bad idea. Right? He goes the other way. Right? And it's easy for us to be like, the heck? And the first reaction we have on Jonah is to sit back and go, you know what, Jonah, you judge him because you're like, I'm not like Jonah. I'm not stupid. God tells me to go east, I'm going east. I'm not going west because I don't want to get swallowed up by a fish because it smells in there, right? I know this because I watch Nemo like every day, like 4 times a day. My baby loves Nemo, right? And babies don't care. They just watch the same movie over and over again, right? And it's not good being swallowed by a whale because you just don't know, right? And so you're like, ah, God tells me to go east. I'm going to go east, whatever. It's all good. But the problem is this. If we look carefully and we study this passage carefully, what Jonah is in fact doing is he's taking the word of God and he's picking and choosing what he likes. If God told Jonah to go, hey, go to Judah, go to the county of Judah, and go to the city of Bethlehem, and go tell this baker to do this, or go tell this baker to stop saying this, Jonah would have been like, on the first, he would have ran, right? He would have ran and be like, hey, this is what God says, don't do this. Because why? Because he likes that part of God's word. However, when God says, go preach the gospel to Nineveh, Jonah's like, no. Jonah is doing what we do every day. He picks and chooses what he likes from God's word. See that? The problem is Jonah, like us, though we are not prophets like Jonah, we don't have that freedom to pick and choose what we obey. We don't have that option. Right, just like if your parents tell you to do something, like I do this all the time. My dad tells me to do some ridiculous things, like I'm driving, like he knows that I'm going to like DMV, for example. It's like, hey, can you go do registration stuff for my car? Okay, so you know I'm driving to DMV. He knows I'm driving, and he texts me in the middle of the road. Right, because my dad's like hurt, so he can't like really move around too much. So if he texts me, I'm always like, oh snap, what happened? You know, I'm driving to DMV and he texts me, hey, can you get a quarter of milk? You can literally wait for that, you know. And I'm angry, and annoyed, you know, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, guess what? He's my dad. I don't have the option of not saying like, no, thanks. You know, I could, but there's going to be hell to pay because it's dad. Right? And so when dad says stuff, you got to do it. Right? It's kind of like, and so when God says stuff, right, how much more? I have to obey what God or what my dad says. How much more than when God says, do this, do we have to obey? God never asks us, hey, Elliot, this is what I'm thinking. So what do you think? I think you should go do this. God never asks for our opinion, ever. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, I want to know what you think, and I want to know if you think this is a good idea. God never says that. God says, I am the king. I'm the creator. You trust me. If you trust me, you gotta go where I go. You gotta go where I send you. Right? Jesus never makes it pretty like that either. Jesus never like, I love you. Just go to church. Yay. that never happens. Right? But Jesus says what? You go and people will hate you. People will try to kill you. People will throw like scorpions and poison stuff, right? People like read that passage where Jesus is like, scorpions will sting you and you'll be okay and you'll drink poison and you won't die. And people are like, ah! But then you never stop to think like, why would Jesus say that? You know? Like, oh, it's because people are gonna throw poisonous stuff at you. You know what I mean? And so we like Jonah, we want to pick and choose the parts of God that we like, and we want to obey or connect to or raise our hands to the stuff about God that we like. But there are parts of God that we don't like, and we don't want to obey that. And we're just like Jonah. Jonah is the exact same way. And we like the parts where it's, God is love, God loves me, yes. But we hate the parts where God says, repent. What do you mean? We hate the parts where God says, give up your video games. Why? I love video games. They're so fun. The graphics are amazing. Right? Give up your love of iPhones. It happens. Right? You're like, ah, oh, but the new 5S is coming out. I will love you, Jesus, if you give me the iPhone. Right? We make these like ridiculous deals. But God doesn't work that way. God says, love me, and if you love me, you will obey. Right? The reason why I ultimately obey my dad is not because I fear his retribution. Because, guess what? I don't live with him anymore. It's not like he's going to be like, you didn't get my milk. No dinner for you. Problem is, I don't live with him, so I get my dinner anyway. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing real, any harm that my dad can do. But the reason I obey him, whether I like it or not, whether it's annoying or not, is ultimately because I love him, because he's my dad. Right? And so the second lesson we see, Jonah's flight from God's presence. Okay, so God says, go preach the gospel. Jonah's like, you know what, I don't like that part, so I'm going to go the other way. And I gotta admit, I don't know if if you've been at VBS and like children's ministry long enough, you're always like told this story. Here's where Jonah is. Here's where where Nineveh is. And here's where Tarshish is. And what Jonah does is, instead of going this way, you go this way. That's bad. Don't be like Jonah. Okay? I've done that. I've seen it, you know? But that's not also entirely true. Right? Because, in doing some research, I learned that there are many cities called Tarshish back in Jonah's day. Right? Tarshish is also actually what you would call a group of port cities. Right? And they had all specific names, but you would be like, oh yeah, that area is Tarshish. Right? So it's not like you're saying, oh, Jonah is going on a boat to go to Baltimore. Right? It's more like Jonah is on a boat to go to the east coast of America. You see what I'm saying? The difference between Baltimore, a specific city, and the east coast, which is a huge area, right? Tarshish is not a specific city is a huge area, right? And then check this out. Tarshish also means, it's a word which means open water, open seas, open sea. Right. Now this is a play on words, and if we're all Hebrew scholars, we'll be like, oh, so bad, okay? Basically, we'll talk about it during lunch, but so basically what Jonah is doing is, right, God's saying this, right? And notice where Jonah is when God speaks to him. He's in Israel. He's among God's people, right? And notice how it's worded, right? Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Right? It's interesting because in Jonah, what Jonah is trying, in this book, what we're told is God dwells among his people. God dwells among his people. Right? Again, this is not just a New Testament idea. Oh, Jesus died and then the curtain ripped. That's very, very true. But at the same time, wherever the people of God meet, that's where God is, right? And that's where Jonah received the word, right? And so what is, and Jonah doesn't like it. So what does he do? He flees from the presence of God. How? He gets away from, and he goes. He's trying to go to a place where there is no God follower. He's trying to go to like straight up just remote place. And you go, oh, okay, maybe there's a city called Tarshish where people don't know about God. Possible. Entirely possible. But Jonah doesn't even want to take that chance. Right? So he goes down to the port city of Joppa, and he gets on a boat with a bunch of people who don't know God. And we know this because we'll see it later in the story. Right? Because the storm comes and they're all like worshiping different gods and idols and whatever. Right? What Jonah is trying to go is, he's trying to get away from God and get away from his people. When we don't like God or his words, when we specifically don't like something that God has done, or even in my case, it's not important anymore. In my high school career, I shared this with some of you guys. I live literally 10 minutes walk from my high school. From my front door to my first period class, it was a 10-minute walk. So the bell rang at 8:35. So what that means is I could wake up at 8:05, brush my teeth, I use that term loosely, right? Drink a cup of milk, and walk out and still be on time. Okay? I will wake up at like 8:10 during the weekday. You know what time I woke up to go to church? 7:30. I woke up earlier to go to church on Sundays than I did for school. Right? So some of you guys are like, that makes no sense. Right? Because you guys wake up at like 4:00 in the morning or something like that, right? Ridiculous. Anyway. And so, and I was faithful. I loved youth group. When I walked in, I loved everything about youth group. That's why my high school memories are mostly of youth group and youth group retreats. The good, bad, and the ugly. All that. Right? And I remember, like, first time I walked in, and then our youth pastor, Pastor K, he's out in Cali now. He's doing his thing. Right? Everything he preached, I'm like, Right? Because it was like, oh, he's awesome. He loves Jesus. He makes me want to love Jesus too. Right? It was awesome. It was fantastic. Until my senior year. All throughout my high school and middle school, basically youth group years, I never went to a party. Never went clubbing, because there's no clubs in Richmond that's worth mentioning. Right? I don't know. I mean, at least back in the day when I was there, right? Problem was, by the time I get to my senior year, all of my friends go partying every weekend. It's weird. I don't understand. Even now, I don't understand how they did it, because all my friends got like straight A's, honor roll, AP, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then every weekend they go crazy. I know this because they would tell me on Monday morning, hey, you know what we did this weekend? Blah, blah, blah. That's why. And so I never did that. Until my senior year, I hear this so much that I'm like, huh, I want to go check it out. Right? Or you could bet on Saturdays. Fridays is when the parties happen, after football games usually. So I went, I told my mom that I was sleeping over at my friend's house, and we went to a party. My first one, first and last. And I was expecting this grand, like you see on in the movies. Like you go up, there's like neon lights. Right? It's like 500 people. You're like, how did these people fit in here? This is just crazy, right? It's like a party. High school party basically means a bunch of high school kids like, oh my gosh, we have alcohol, yeah! Right, that's literally what it is. And so I go to this party, and I will admit to you, I did drink, underage drinking. But I can say I did not get drunk, because ever since I was a little kid, getting drunk was never a pretty picture in my mind. Because I had a bunch of friends who got drunk pretty regularly. And I'm like, and I remember talking to my friends about it, and they're like, don't you want to get drunk? I'm like, you mean, you know, drink a lot of alcohol and just piss everywhere and make a fool out of myself? No, thanks. Right? And they couldn't say anything, right? Because that's what they did every weekend. And so I'm at this party, and I'm like, this sucks. Honestly, this stinks. You know, and there was a bunch, and there was like a big deal because there was a bunch of people from another school that was coming and stuff like that, and it was, you know, my friend's house and whatever. And I remember we went there, and I was thinking, the whole time I was like, when are we going home? This is like really dumb. This is a waste of my time, you know? Problem is, I drove with my friend, and my friend passed out in the living room. I have no car. I have no ride. I'm stuck there in a den of sin. Basically just high school kids drunk, passed out, you know. I remember going to church that Sunday. Never told my pastor. Never told any of my youth group friends. Right? I don't even think my brother knew. I told my brother like when we were in college. But I do remember going to church and going, I don't want to be here. That was the first time in my life, first time in my youth group career, that I didn't want to be at church. I was a small group leader. I did prayer meetings. I did praise team. Right? So can you imagine? I was a praise leader on a Sunday morning. I didn't want to be at church. Didn't tell anybody. But I just felt like, in my heart, it was God saying, what the heck are you doing, man? You know? I told you, right? Not that I committed any kind of sin in terms of like, I got drunk, or did drugs and stuff like that. I didn't. But it was that sense of, you know, yeah, I lied to my mom. I lied to my parents. Years later, I found out my mom knew what I was going to do anyway. But she just like, you're a kid. What the heck? Just do it. You know? Went there. Did my thing. Went to church. I don't remember exactly my set. I don't remember exactly how the service went or what even the passage was. But I do remember not wanting to be there. And I do remember every song that I sang, I thought, in my heart, I was like, I can't sing this. This is a lie. Right? A little bit like Jonah. He knew what he was supposed to do. Didn't want to do it. Went the other way. Isn't it funny that when we're caught in sin, or when we are in absolute disobedience, the last place we want to be is church. And I don't mean the church building. I mean the people. So that Sunday, It's not that I didn't want to be in that building per se. It's just I didn't want to be around the people of God. I didn't want to be at church. And that's a little bit like Jonah. He's disobeying God. He knows it. Like blatant, straight up, like, screw you, I don't want to listen to what you're gonna say. And what does he do? He gets away from God's people. Now, am I trying to say whenever someone misses a Sunday, they're doing sin? No. Sometimes yes, but usually no. Okay? If it's like Brandon, probably yes. Okay, he's committing sin. So we need to bring him back. Okay? But for most people, no. No. Right? But there is this true sense that when we are disobeying God, we don't want to be around the people of God. We don't. Because it just feels awkward and uncomfortable. And so we run away. So where is our hope? The last lesson that we see is no distance too far. And this is a pretty hardcore, awesome, and maybe scary and even infuriating lesson. And it's this. There is no distance that we run away where God can't reach us or find us. Let me say it again. There is no distance we go where God can't find us, God can't reach us. Psalm 139, 7 through 12, if you have it, that's cool. If you don't, just wait for me to get there. Psalm 139 is one of those passages that you should just memorize, okay? And if you really love Jesus, as my professors used to say, just memorize it in Hebrew, because everyone, anyway. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, says this: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. That's the depth, or basically that's where the Jewish word for hell, okay? If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. And if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the dark is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Dark and light are alike to you. See, this is why I entitled the message today, The Prodigal Prophet. Right, we hear right from the retreat, right, the prodigal son. Because it's the sense that not only are we ever so too far away for God, but it's the sense that no matter how far we go, whether God does it lovingly and gently, or God does it forcefully, he's going to bring us back, right? The prodigal son came back gently. God brought him back gently with love, right? God threw all these like situations at him, and he was like, oh, he was broken. He was like, I have to go back to my father. And he went back, right? Jonah, probably he was a little bit like me, a little stubborn, right? A little prideful. God brought him back nonetheless, forcefully. And so the final lesson that we see is this. There is no distance, there's no place that we can go, there's no sin that we can commit that is beyond God's redemption, beyond God's reach. And as another prophet says, while it is today, turn back, repent. Because if you are a child of God, right? If you are a child of God, as someone that's gone through this process over and over again in my life, repent now. Repent now. Because if you're saying, man, I'm drifting far away, and you know what? I'm at a point where I just don't care. I just don't want to fight anymore. God says X, Y, and Z. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm gonna go do my thing. Please take my personal advice from my personal life. Repent now. Repent now. Because right now is a time of gentleness. Because if we keep drifting like Jonah, Sooner or later, God's going to bring you back, but he's going to do it forcefully, and it's not going to be pretty. All right? With Jonah, it took 3 days in the gut of a fish. Right? And it's not like the children's version, where it's like a huge whale. Right? It's not like, he's not Pinocchio. Right? Where he gets swallowed by a whale, he's in there with a bunch of dudes, like, dude, well, what are you doing, man? I don't know, what are you doing? Right? And then the whale, like, spits him out to the... No, it's more like a fish, and the fish, like, threw him up. Okay, first of all, getting swallowed by a fish, that's nasty. Second of all, spending 3 days, right? That's 72 hours in the belly of a fish. Do you know what fish eat? I don't know, but they eat a whole bunch of stuff, but it stinks, right? Whenever you cook fish at home, it stinks. Like, if you don't, like, the guts and stuff, right? That's nasty. Double nasty. And then third, what happens? He gets thrown up. So Jonah gets eaten up, he stinks like fish for 72 hours. He's basking in fish guts for 72 hours. And then the fish pukes him out. I don't know about much about a lot of things, but I do know this. That's nasty. Okay? And God had to bring back Jonah like that. Right? Why? Because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. And God's like, come back, come back, come back. The prodigal son, right, heard it, faced the situation. He's like, dude, I got to repent. I got to get back. Jonah, not so much. God's like, come back, come back, come back. And Jonah's like, no thanks. And God said, okay. Boosh. Right? There's nowhere we can run to where we're beyond his eyes and beyond his hand. And whether gently or forcefully, God will bring us back. That is a promise of God. And so what do we learn? We learn a couple things. When we sin, and we sin so much, right, don't ever think like, oh, I just got back from the retreat, I'm a super Christian. Ah! No. Especially you guys starting college for the first time, you're going into a den of sin. You're going to see, hear things. You're gonna be like, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? That's what some of my friends thought when first they came to college. There's no distance. There's no place where you're beyond God. Even in your terrible college situation, not beyond God. But even more seriously, for those of us going into the fall semester, and you're saying, man, you're hearing this lesson of Jonah, you're like, whatever. There's no blip on my radar. There's nothing going on. You're drifting. This is God's invitation. God doesn't plead or beg like he's desperate. But this is God's gentle invitation. Come back, come back, come back. And you go, well, I don't know how to come back. First lesson, first step, repentance. Whether it be at church or be at your house or in the closet somewhere, in the corner of your room somewhere, don't matter. Get on your knees and say, God, what have I done? Repentance. And then you say, simply, God, take me back. Bring me back. Bring me back. Because the presence of God is, because the promise of God is, I'm not going to lose any of my kids. Right? Jesus' grip is super hard, hardcore strong. Right? Jesus says, John 6, right? I'm not going to lose any of my kids. I'm not going to lose any of my people. Right? So no matter how far we think we're going to run away, God's going to bring us back. So the invitation is this: come back. Come back. Come back while he is still gentle. Because sooner or later he's gonna bring us back forcefully. Right? That's the promise of God. You're not gonna like it, it's not gonna be pretty. But he's gonna bring us back. Right? So this is the lesson of the prodigal prophet. Let's pray.